It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. A former Balch Springs police officer has been charged with murder in the fatal shooting of a black 15-year-old. An arrest warrant was issued today for Roy Oliver. He fired his rifle into a car that was driving away from a house party last weekend. Jordan Edwards was an unarmed passenger. He was shot in the head as four teenagers in the car, including two brothers, watched. Oliver, who was white, was fired from the Balch Springs Police Department. Meanwhile, the family of Jordan Edwards is preparing for his funeral tomorrow morning. As KERA's Bill Zeebel reports, there are lots of questions and sorrow over what happened.
There have been tears, press conferences, and vigils since the Saturday night shooting in Balch Springs. On Wednesday, dozens gathered at a multi-faith prayer vigil in Dallas's Agape AME Church near Fair Park.
We are angry and we are frustrated.
Imam Omar Suleiman offered a prayer to the God of Abraham, of Jesus, Muhammad, and of Jordan Edwards.
And we are not angry with you, and we do not accuse you of showing any lack of mercy to us. But we complain to you of the lack of mercy on the part of some of your creation.
The national president of the NAACP, Cornell William Brooks, attended the service. He says there have been too many shootings of young African Americans across the country.
We need to be very clear about this. We will not give our permission to the continued brutality of our children. So be prepared for unrest in the most constructive sense of the word, but also in the most disruptive sense of the word, unless we get reform.
Demands for a reformed Balch Springs Police Department have been somewhat dampened this week, thanks to the rapid termination of Officer Roy Oliver. Police Chief Jonathan Haber initially said the car filled with teenagers backed up aggressively toward police. His story changed a day later after he saw the police body cam, which showed the car moving away from officers. The teens were leaving a rowdy house party. The chief fired Oliver. The fast action earned praise from Ernest Walker, a local African-American activist.
I have never heard a chief admit that he made a mistake recently when dealing with shootings. But this chief has integrity, and he's done that. And yes, Balch Springs has stepped up to the plate and showed other cities how a process like this should take place.
That might be a reason some have speculated that there have been no protests or marches. However, the Edwards family asked that there not be any in their name or their son's name as they grieved while arranging for the funeral. They're not alone. Sarita Roberts sits on a bench by the Balch Springs Duck Pond near police headquarters. Her kids are playing nearby.
I am concerned for my children. I do have faith in some police officers. You know, there's always good ones and bad ones. I just wish they had a better method of weeding out the bad ones.
Roberts says police have stressful lives, but they also should be held to a higher standard. She has seven children, aged 3, 4, 5, 6, then 15, 21, and 22. Roberts starts to cry.
I'm still not through it. I'm not. Because I have two young boys here. They're going to grow up.
What about two young girls?
Oh, and my young girls.
And then two men.
Are you worried more about your boys than your girls?
Yeah. Because they're considered a threat, I guess, because of the color of their skin. I just pray things get better. Just pray that things get better.
As Balch Springs citizens mourn the death of Jordan Edwards, authorities continue looking into what happened last weekend. Both the Dallas County District Attorney's Office and the Dallas County Sheriff's Department are investigating. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
Saturday is election day for cities and school districts across North Texas. In Fort Worth, there will be at least one new face on city council. Councilman Sal Espino is retiring after nearly a dozen years representing District 2, which stretches from downtown to far north Fort Worth. KERA's Christopher Connolly took a tour of the district with the four candidates vying to replace him.
Our tour starts in District 2's most iconic location, the Fort Worth Stockyards, where Longhorns still walk the streets twice a day. This is where I meet aerospace engineer Carlos Flores, whose grandfather and uncle worked in the once thriving meatpacking plants. Now the stockyards are undergoing a major overhaul, and Flores served on a task force to craft design standards to keep its historic nature intact.
We're going to have a lot of opportunities here, along with that redevelopment, that'll showcase and preserve those things that made the Stockyards what it is then and, you know, keeps it what it is now.
That $175 million project is an example of what Flores calls smarter development, working together with developers to work their plans into the city's larger vision. He says that applies to this aging area and to new development in the district's far north neighborhoods.
We have to make sure that the infrastructure is appropriate and can accommodate that added use. So the time to do it is before any new development starts, because it's more costly to come back and have to do it after the fact.
Just a couple miles to the south, I meet Jennifer Trevino at a catering business and supper club called Magdalena's. Trevino says this kind of smaller scale entrepreneurship can get overlooked if you just focus on the massive projects underway in the Stockyards or in the billion-dollar Trinity River Vision Plan.
You have all these big development projects, but you also have opportunities for smaller businesses to be involved in that. And that's what I think is exciting, too, to have different ways for different size companies or startups to, you know, be part of those bigger projects or do smaller projects like this one on their own.
Trevino stepped down as an executive at UNT Health Sciences Center to run for council. In that job, she says she worked to bring together the right people to make sure the growing academic medical center ran smoothly. It's this role as a convener of stakeholders that she sees as a model for representing District 2 in City Hall.
Oftentimes, organizations, individuals, businesses are working towards the same thing, but maybe not on the same page, or their timing's off, or those kinds of things. And so I think this could really help foster that sense of community and collaboration. And that's one of my strengths, is bringing people together.
I hopped in the car with our next candidate, realtor Tony Perez. He's the only candidate who lives north of Loop 820 in an area of far north Fort Worth plagued by the growing pains of rapid expansion.
One of my goals is to connect the north side with the far north area, because we are one district.
Perez says many residents up here feel left out of the decision-making process, but he also wants to see more literal connections to the rest of the district, like buses and bike trails. He says amenities like these would help the city attract businesses that bring good paying jobs.
Yeah, we need some retail, of course. We need some food service, of course. However, when that's all that's here, then there's essentially a cap, economic cap, on what's possible in the city.
The last stop on this tour takes us back to Fort Worth's north side. Retired firefighter Steve Thornton shows me his meticulously restored 1910 home. 28 years ago, he responded to a fire here.
And so we're crawling here and I'm crawling, open up here. I found a door, get back. We open it up, man, the flyers go out. And then just circle pattern, puts the fire out.
This is Thornton's second run at city council, both times running as a political outsider. Thornton says people across District 2 on both sides of 820 feel like decisions made downtown come at their expense.
I'm not telling you that the city's ignoring them, but I can't deny the fact that they're feeling ignored.
So Thornton wants the city council to be more responsive to regular people. He also wants term limits to bring in fresh ideas. City Hall, he says, is like a pot of soup. He'd bring a spoon and a ladle to the job.
So all I want to do is get up there with my spoon and stir it up, man, and let all those good ingredients come to the top again. But the other question you ask, well, what's the ladle for? That's to get shit out of there. Ain't tasting good no more. Don't belong there. It's too old.
Thornton says voter turnout is usually low in this district, like single digits low. He says maybe with four candidates running for the seat, more voters will weigh in by going to the polls on Saturday. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
There are several city council and school board races across North Texas tomorrow. Check out our voter guide at keranews.org. And finally, Bob Wilson died today after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. Wilson brought Jim Lehrer and Monty Python to North Texas television audiences while leading KERA during its early years. He was 75. We have a remembrance of Wilson at keranews.org. And in the forecast, a low of 55 tonight. It's 79 degrees in Dallas right now. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.